Thank you.
Somebody can say amen. That's it. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm always, when we sing songs in church and that, and I have no idea what the music group has prepared, when I see all the little indications to say that you're on the right track with your message, Peter, then I get some lekker. Let's read the Word of God together. Is it going to be up on the screen? I think so. It's going to be Ephesians. And if it's not there yet, I'm going to just read it. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. And here we go. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." That's actually a great sermon, that. Are we ready to spread the peace? But that's just besides the point. You know, so often when you read the Word of God and then something jumps out at you, always ready with a pen, Peter, to take down a few notes. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." The Lord bless His Word. Amen. Oh, come on, Colin said you can say amen. I mean, come on, amen. I'm used to that. I don't know about you, but I am a nut as far as it goes to following all these things that are happening in the world, especially where it comes to war. Of course, Presbyterians are very quiet and relaxed and reserved people, but I can't wait for the next YouTube, WhatsApp, Dr. Google telling me about the Ukraine and the Russia, okay? And I don't know about you, but I've been an avid follower of the president of the Ukraine begging the rest of the world to send them the tanks, especially the Leopard tank, the German Leopard tank, which gives them supposedly superior firepower when faced with the enemy. And then, of course, we've heard over the news lately that Germany has reluctantly said, yes, you can have 14 of these tanks, 14 tanks against hundreds of thousands of Russian soldiers. But then Britain got on the bandwagon and they said, we're going to send you some Challenger tanks. And America said, oops, we can't let Germany and Britain do the rest. So they said, we're going to send you, I think it's 31, oh, so gracious, 31 Abraham tanks. Now, just as an introduction, let's go back to the scripture reading. And let me tell you now this morning is that we are in a war. What do you mean, Peter? I'm not in the Ukraine, and I'm not fighting a political battle, and I'm not fighting. Maybe you would fight because when your electricity goes off and you need to get rid of some anger and frustration so you find somebody to fight with. But we're fighting a war. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, the passage that I read, and it says, for our struggle, not for my struggle or for some of us, but our struggle combined collectively, whether you're a crazy Pentecostal, loud and robust, or whether you're nice and reserved, doesn't matter. We are in a struggle. So give me a Presbyterian nod. We're in a struggle. If you're not, please talk to me afterwards. I'd love to know your secret for success. But he says, we're not, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So don't worry about being called up to the army and that. But our struggle is against, now listen very carefully, Paul uses the definite article and he says, the rulers or the rulers, not just rulers, because then we can get very political. But he talks about the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realms. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. We need to do something. And I'm so glad that we sang Raise a Hallelujah, and also to say I'm no longer a slave to fear, and we can go on and say I'm in this battle. And then Paul goes on to instruct the church to say, now get on, get dressed. And he's using the analogy of a Roman soldier with the helmet and the breastplate and the truth and the feet shod so that they can go off marching. And then he talks about the shield and the sword and so on. And he says, let's be fitted out for this battle, this struggle. Just by an aside, you know, every evening before I go to bed, I have a little Bible. It's not the one I'm using today, but I have another Bible at my bedside. And I read a chapter, and I'm busy in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah 59, verse 17, it talks about the one to come wearing the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and fully dressed to the armor of God, referring to Jesus. Man, that little scripture excited me to no end. But Paul says this is not an option. You know, it's not an option. It's not like the ladies who stand in front of their wardrobes and there's millions of dresses and say, what shall I wear? And of course, not the Presby ladies. You all know. But men know what to do. They open a wardrobe. I need a shirt, a pants, socks, and shoes, and a belt. Okay, good. But it's not an option. It says, put on just the helmet? No. Put on just a breastplate? No. He says, put on the full armor, the complete armor. And it's a command. And I had a look at the Greek tense of this, and it says there to make this happen. We have to make this happen. We have to get dressed with the full armor of God, so we can go forth into this battle. Can't wait to show you something, but in any case, we get there. But get back to the leopard tank. Let's get back to that leopard tank. It's not a case of, okay, Ukraine, President Zelensky, I think you pronounce his name like that, we're sending you, 14 leopard tanks? We're sending you X amount of Challenger tanks, and we're sending you amount of Abrams tanks. Excuse me. You have to be trained to use that tank. It's not like a motor car. You get in and you switch on the ignition and away you go. This is tons of equipment, special equipment. This is serious firepower. And if you don't get trained on it, and poor Ukrainians, instead of being trained on one type of tank, they're going to be trained on three different types of tanks. And now lately, I believe that some of their pilots are being trained to fly certain airplanes in the UK. And there's all sorts of other sophisticated weaponry that they have to be trained to use. Trained to use. And if they get that right, their firepower will become totally phenomenal. And of course, I've got that little desire. Give those Russians a big fat hiding. But it's no good saying to Russia, we've got the tanks. Yeah, we've got three different types of tanks, and you know, NATO is going to supply us more. You've got to be trained. And so Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, you're putting on the full armor of God, but you've got a shield of faith, and you've also got, here we go, a sword. A sword of righteousness. A sword that you have to be able to use. Now, can I tell you about, may I just tell you a little bit about the sword? I am a history buff, and I just loved the history of the sword. When I was growing up in my hometown, in my home in Uitenhage, there were two of these swords hanging crossways down the end of a passage. Petra knows because she saw this, and some other friends of mine and people who know me will realize. And they were quite shining at the stage, but you know what? This has got an incredible history. Comes from Ethiopia, and then the Second World War, which was still Abyssinia. And this was a cavalry sword. You can see there the two rings, and it would hang on the belt of a trooper, and they would fight by drawing the sword and facing off the enemy. Until the enemy came in the form of the Italians with superior firepower. Superior fire. Now, if you have a sword, so what? Excuse me, so what? You've got to draw the sword. And once you've drawn the sword and you have it in your hand, you better know how to use it. And I'm not talking about the Hollywood movies that we see, you know, oh, is it Tom Cruise and all these guys? I mean, somebody who's superior to you is, while you got it up here brandishing a sword, you go, and then you're gone. Are you getting the message that here is the weapon that we are being given, and you have to use it by drawing it and making sure that you trained in the use of this fighting weapon? Now, what's that got to do with my message? Well, I'll tell you what. I wanted a Bible, and I went shopping not so very long ago, and I came across this wonderful Bible at Kumbuks. I have a few shares there from time to time in Kumbuks, and it's the NIV, man, and this is the personal large print Bible. You know, when you mature, you need larger print. You need larger print, and it's quite a beautiful Bible. I mean, it's nice and soft. And when I do my sermons on YouTube, it looks pretty cool on the table. Yeah, pretty cool. But you know what? I had to take this. And oh, by the way, it was marked 500 Rand, and I got a bargain, 399. Isn't that lekker? I said, I've got a Bible. Excuse me. Are you trained in the use of this word? Do you know how to use it? Do you know that this is superior firepower? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the principalities, the powers of darkness, the absolute degrading evil of an enemy that wants no, gets so much joy to see the destruction of the body of Christ. And so he will chuck us whatever he can. You've got to be able to take that Bible, and you've got to be able to use it. I brought another little Bible here. Oh, my goodness. This, you can see, it's been used. This is one of my first Bibles that I had. It's nogal the King James Version. So when I was young, I was able to handle the thou sayest and all that sort of stuff. Now I'm on to all the modern-day translations of the NIV and the Amplifieds and all that. And I've got a whole host of these Bibles. And thank God for Bible Gateway on the internet, that I can look at all these different translations. But do you know how to use it? That's the big question. And from a very young age, I wanted to know how to use the Bible, so I studied it and I wrote all various scriptures down for various situations. Now, I'm not going to read it to you because I was rather a youngster in the faith in those years, and I had all sorts of scriptures, especially for repentance. And then when I opened the Bible, and I thought to myself, I used to underline it with a red pen. And the first verse of scripture underlined was, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Now, come on, for the life of me, why did I underline that? I have no idea. But you know what? I used it. And I'm still using it, and I'm still excited about the Bible, because Isaiah 49 verse 2 tells me something that is so potently important for the body of Christ to listen to grasp, to undertake, to make it part of you. The prophet Isaiah says, He, that's God, made my mouth like a sharpened sword. Now, listen carefully. He didn't make my tongue. He made my mouth. Because a tongue could be very sarcastic. A tongue can say all sorts of funny things and weird things. But my mouth is like a sharpened sword, and in the shadow of his hand he hid me, and he made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. And one day Jesus Christ is going to return to planet Earth, and we have this wonderful metaphorical description of out of his mouth comes this flaming sword. And the battle of Armageddon, and no matter how much the enemy gets all the satanic forces against him, one word, bingo. As a matter of fact, my Bible tells me that Jesus prepares and he says to all the birds of the air, you're going to have a feast. Please come to this place when I'm going to go and destroy with my mouth. And then I think to myself, if I go back to the scriptures and I see what Corinthians has to say about it, in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, and just to give you a slight indication, it says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And then he goes on to say, since we have the same spirit of faith, who's he referring to? Jesus. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Now, I'm not speaking about my doctrinal beliefs. I'm not speaking about how I interpret the Bible. I'm not speaking about I'm looking at the scriptures through a certain pair of glasses to help and support me with my pet theories. I'm talking about, here we have superior firepower, and I look to Jesus when he was being tempted in the desert, and Satan came along, and you know what he did? He said, it's a bread from a stone, and jump off from the pinnacle of the temple, and why don't you just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all what you need. And this is the power of authority and the spiritual forces, and you know what Jesus says? It is written. Excuse me, it is written. But you have to know what is written. That's the big question. You can't go tell the devil, man, I've got a Bible. You'll say, so what? Open it up and all the dust might give you hay fever. It must be well used and you must know what's in it. And you know what? The Greek tense for it is written means it is still appropriate for today, because Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. And you and I can take the scripture. The battle belongs to the Lord. I'm no longer a slave for fear. I raise a hallelujah against my enemies. I chase them away. Why? By saying, I've got a sword. No, I know what's in this word, and it will defeat you. Can I have an amen? Come on, please. Give me an amen. It's just, it's written, therefore I believe. Are we men and women of faith here this morning? One or two, and I heard a little mumble on that side. Are we men and women of faith? Come on, humor Peter. Are we men and women of faith? It's about 70%, but that's okay. We'll pray for the other 30%. But that's great. You have to know what's in it. You know, when you're faced with a sickness, that's the reality. But what is the truth that you're hanging on to? That Jesus says, by my stripes you are healed. But the reality is, I've got cancer. The reality is of this and that. But the truth is, I am healed. Yeah, I have a great need, but my God will supply all your needs according to His will. Seek first His kingdom. And so we can go on and on and on and on and on. What does Paul say to Timothy? And I just want to quote to you from the Amplified Classic Translation. And he says, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial. Ooh. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. And I just love this where he says, and be eager. Christians, I know we all busy. I know, ladies, you got lots to do. I know, men, you got lots to do. You come home and you sit down on the couch and you start exercising the thumbs and wait for food to be laid on. Are you eager to grab this word? Is it become a priority? Is it become part and parcel of your whole being? Oh, I have a favorite fan who wants to hear me preach. Have a look at this. Isn't she beautiful? I haven't had this for a long time. When I was preaching in Salisbury one day, a little kid came running down the aisle. I said, no big deal. Picked her up, and the two of us did quite a good sermon together. Hallelujah. So what are we trying to say to you? We're saying to you that this word has to be studied and applied. Once the Ukrainians get the hang of those Leopard tanks and Challengers and all this sort of thing, we will see a difference. We will see a difference. I want to go preach another half an hour, but I think I'm going to stop right here. 15 minutes. I've been practicing lately, just 15 minutes, 20 minutes maximum. You can tell Jacques, hy het maar kort gepreek. But the point is, do you know that you have an incredible weapon? That when you draw this, it's a two-edged sword sharpened to divide between flesh and blood and the soul, and it'll make a difference. I've been faced and confronted with many issues and many tests and trials in my life. And no matter how I've argued, no matter how I've put together a case, the best was always to be, but what does this say about that situation? And that's why when I was a youngster, I used to study this Bible, still got this, and I still have this type of thing, only that Google helps me much better nowadays. And besides, I can't hardly read my handwriting of those years. So take out this word and make sure you spend time with it. And even if it's just one verse of scripture that becomes part and parcel of your life, it's going to help. Amen? Do you want me to preach another half? No, I'm not going to preach another half. Father, I just say thank you that you are so gracious to us, that you give us your word, and that your word is so powerful. It destroys the enemy. No matter how big and powerful, Lord, the principalities of this world are, no matter how long we have to wait. Daniel waited 3 weeks, but the angel had to fight off this prince of Persia, but the answer came. And no matter what our trials and tribulations, especially in our country that we face so many issues, help us, Lord God, to take and to put on your full armor and to utilize the superior firepower that you've given us through your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.